The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gal Media station.
Pistol formation now. Tagovailoa with Harris right behind him. Three receivers, two to the left. A blitz from the left. He throws in that direction. It is intercepted and running it back down the far sideline. A.J. Terrell for a Clemson touchdown. Lawrence again with the running back on his right. It's Travis Etienne, the handoff. Running to the left. Has a hole. Breaks a tackle and scores a touchdown. Around left end. And into the end zone by the near pylon for a Clemson 17-yard touchdown run. Lawrence in the gun. Etienne, the running back, on his left. And it's a handoff to Etienne into the end zone untouched. Off the A-gap between the center and the right guard. Etienne, the running back. He's on the left hip of Lawrence out of the gun. Rodgers went in motion to the left and comes back to the right end of the line. It's a shovel pass to Etienne, and his third touchdown of the night. It is a pressure, and Lawrence on his back foot. Man wide open, caught, and off to the races goes Justin Ross down the far numbers, and he is going to score.
A victory formation and a 55th win for this Clemson senior class. The Tigers reclaim their crown by crushing Alabama.
You know, I know 10 years ago, not many people probably saw this coming, but we're here and we did it.
Well, that was an exciting performance, not necessarily an exciting game. A lot to get to. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name, John, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday. If you want to get in, you better do it fast because we're only here until 5:30.
What?
We have to make way for Aggie basketball. I know everyone's excited about that. It's happening, Hoffman.
They've got a high-profile opponent.
Yeah, there's that. There's that.
Aggie at Kentucky tonight.
Yeah, Kentucky, which has not been what I thought they were going to be when the season started.
But I mean, expectations are always kind of ridiculous for Kentucky anyway. So,
but
they're pretty damn good.
They'll get better as the season goes on. Most of his teams usually do. So
Aggie probably underperforming expectations themselves. So I think they're 6-6 on the season.
Yeah.
That's probably not where Aggie was hoping to be at this point.
No, and they should have higher expectations than that. But let's start with the game last night.
The sports match?
Indeed, which, man, if I got to give Trevor Lawrence credit. I kind of thought going in that
you know, big stage, it might be too much. No, not a problem for him. He was fantastic.
He was awesome. And, you know, we've maybe been guilty of this in the past, like when young quarterbacks are in the NFL, we're going, or even when guys get drafted, we're like, really, this guy, this is the hot quarterback coming out of college? Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at those two guys last night, and you could see, I mean, there's going to be some good quarterbacks coming through eventually. And Tua didn't play his best game, and it was still pretty damn good. I mean, all things considered, Tua wasn't playing defense.
No.
And it was, I mean, Clemson dominated both sides of the ball. And Clemson has a ton of NFL talent, just like Alabama does. And their guys were more ready to play yesterday.
Yeah, and I got to give some credit to Dabo, too. Who?
Oh, man.
I mean, my goodness, they out-coached Saban and his crew. And it's interesting. Somebody made the point this morning that they've got all pretty much the same assistants there. Like Brett Venables, by the way, was terrific last night, too. And Saban pretty much shuffles the deck every year. And I think there is something to be said for that consistency, because those guys, they were ready for Alabama, and the players came out and just, they just dominated. And I saved myself by betting Clemson second half after watching that first half. I broke even. But I'm watching that first half going, they're just better than Alabama. And
well, it's funny. If you watch the first quarter, and I lost my bet, my first quarter bet, really brutal fashion, by the way.
That was rough.
Felt like I should have won that, but that's okay. I think that was the only lead Alabama had all game was 16-14, and that was, you know, 30 seconds into the second quarter. Had they kicked that field goal first, I would have been doing okay. But watching that first quarter, it almost felt like Clemson was hanging on by a thread. Because they got the pick six, or like they went three and out. Alabama just shut them down first drive.
Right.
And then Alabama's driving on them, and they get a pick six. And then Alabama gets the ball back. You see Tua smiling on the sideline. And as soon as they're back on the field, Tua's hitting a deep shot to Judy. And now, uh-oh. Now it looks like Alabama's going to start rolling. And then they get the ball. They're driving to take a lead. Late in the first quarter, and it's like, man, it looks like Alabama's going to have their way with them. That was the extent of Alabama outplaying Clemson.
Yeah, the second quarter, it just turned.
It was evident. I mean, there was domination from that point forward. And to them, I mean, the first pick he threw was just inexcusable, and that's a bad look. The second pick, it looked like maybe his receiver got confused on what he was supposed to be doing. But these are still the kind of mistakes you can't make against a team like Clemson. And
yeah, you can get by with that against the Citadel.
Yeah.
And Mississippi. But, yeah, you can't do that. And, you know, of course, all the hot takes, oh, Alabama's overrated. And
No,
the truth is that's the second best football team in America. They just happen to run into a really, really good team. And credit to Clemson. I mean, I think if they play that game 10 times, Alabama's going to win a few of them, but I think Clemson would win more. And, you know, that's and last night they were just, it's going to be so much fun to watch these two quarterbacks over the next few years because, you know, I said it yesterday. I think here's your number one pick in the next two drafts, probably playing quarterback here against each other. Boy, I would be tanking like crazy for 2 years from now.
Yeah,
I'd be trying to get every first round pick I could.
I don't blame you
because that kid is, I mean, yeah, he's got a little Peyton Manning in him, and I can't wait to see what he does. A more mobile Peyton Manning, I might add.
That guy's really impressive. I'm
he's got a pretty good freshman receiver to throw to the next 2 years too.
I started thinking about this, like at the end of a freshman season for a quarterback. How many guys do you feel like were as advanced as Trevor Lawrence is? Because
for the college level,
that's what I'm saying. Like after a freshman season, do you remember the last
freshman,
time?
True freshman, or because like,
I mean, I'll go any freshman.
Because Johnny Football was pretty far along after his redshirt freshman year. That was pretty impressive.
Okay,
just off the top of my head, but I mean, a true freshman to come in and do that,
Sam Bradford. But he was a redshirt, I think.
He was a redshirt, too, yeah. So The guys I like that came to mind for me.
Was Jameis a sophomore or a freshman when he started?
I don't know.
Bradford was a true freshman.
He was a true freshman, okay. Bradford was. Was he the first freshman to win the Heisman? Was that?
I think so.
Maybe Johnny Football was the first freshman. But, I mean, I was thinking about, like, Jameis Winston was a freshman, too, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, Johnny, Jameis. But did those guys
I think they were both redshirts, though.
But did they seem as advanced of a passer as Trevor Lawrence?
Well, just pure passer, no. I think you have to go back to Peyton Manning.
You might have to.
Because even, you know, even guys like Andrew Luck weren't that good their first year.
No.
And Manning was for 4 years or 3 years, however long he was there. He was always good. But I think you'd have to go back to that.
And even Manning, if I'm not mistaken, he didn't start week one. Or I guess neither did Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think he came in about,
because Todd Huntley was the quarterback. Well,
and there was also the kid who wound up at A&M that was there. They had like two or three quarterbacks. And about halfway through the season, he wound up starting. Yeah, Nick says Winston was a redshirt freshman.
I remember Dan Marino had a great freshman year. Tommy Frazier had a great freshman year. Yeah. We should probably consider him. Phillip Rivers had a really good freshman year. I did some digging on this. Colt McCoy was a good one.
Yeah. Colt was really good.
Chad Henne was really good at Michigan. Kevin Cobb was really good here. RG3 was another really good one. But to find guy, like, I was looking for someone who I felt like was just as advanced of he looks like a professional quarterback already.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And
his arm strength is incredible. He's got such a quick release. That's the thing that impresses me he's only going to get better.
And you know what? I guess I should caveat this. If Jake Fromm would have beaten Alabama last year, we might be saying the same thing about him.
Yeah.
But
he was pretty damn good last year.
He was. Too. But Trevor Lawrence, he just never left it in doubt. And it was one of the best showings I've seen against. I mean, he made the Alabama defense look bad. He made them look horrible.
Yeah. And their receivers did too. But I don't think Fromm was going to go for 347 against that team.
Probably not. What'd you say, John?
That's for me.
Oh.
Hey, before we do that, just to let everybody know, the print version of the novel is now on Amazon.
Yes.
I tweeted it out this morning. Already the number one new release in American dramas on Amazon.
That's awesome. I need to retweet that.
Very stoked about that. And I should have your guys' copies tomorrow.
Okay.
It's supposed to arrive tomorrow. You are going to be among the first five people to get one.
Excellent.
So
I want it signed in blood.
Okay.
Worth more.
Ink is good for me.
I don't like bleeding. It'll have to be somebody else's.
It doesn't have to be
blood.
Your blood.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll sacrifice I was going to tweet something out, a picture of the puppy, and say, buy the book or the puppy dies. And I was told that would not be funny and that people would get mad at me.
Yeah.
So, puppy's not going to die.
No.
I like that puppy more than I like my wife. So, that's not saying much. But, all right, guys. I'll tell you what I also absolutely love. Big City Wings. In fact, Sunday, you know what I did? I got Uber Eats to bring me Big City Wings while I was watching football because they're my favorite wings in the city. And frankly, I think they have the best wings. Their food is terrific. It's all made from scratch. And it's a great place to go watch the games too. Wall-to-wall TVs. You can have your corporate events there. But it's a great place to take the family and just go and check out all the great stuff they have at Big City Wings. And it's not just wings, man. They've got their burgers are fantastic, delicious appetizers. And they have specials every day on food and drink, which is fantastic. Today is 2 for Tuesday wings and tea time, $3 Long Island iced teas. That sounds like fun. So head over and check it out. The food is made to order. It's fresh. The USDA certified Angus beef burgers, loaded baked potatoes, you name it, they've got it. So if you want to watch the game, it's a great place to do it. If you just want to order, get on those Uber Eats, get them sent to your home like I did, you can do that too. Find a location nearest you at BigCityWings.com. Follow them on social media, Facebook.com, BigCity/BigCityWings, Instagram.com/BigCityWings, and then Twitter, it's Big_City_Wings. You will love them. Give them a try, BigCityWings.com.
Without a chance, and no one even knew it was real. is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple people asking how they can get the book. Just go to Amazon and you can search Fowler and Jesus and it'll pop up. Or Jesus just left Chicago. It'll pop up either way. And, you know, it's on my Twitter feed if you want to check that out. I also put it on Facebook. So there's plenty of links there, and it's also on our ESPN social media, so, you know, easy to find. And hopefully you will enjoy it, because so far the early returns from people who have read it or listened to the audiobook have been very, very positive. So it's for degenerates. It's a degenerate novel is what it is. So it'll hopefully you guys will enjoy it. 713-780-ESPN. Maybe Mike says Jamel Holloway was the only freshman to start the season and win the national championship. Maybe. That was a different era, though, in terms of running the football. I think it was easier for quarterbacks then to run options.
Yeah.
But still. Have you talked about Cliff Kingsbury to the Cardinals today? No,
we have not yet.
I think you're kind of betting that, you know, you're going to get more out of him than what he did in college. I would have liked to see him spend some time as an NFL offensive coordinator first. But, you know, if he hires the right defensive coach, maybe it'll work out. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing from an offensive perspective. And this is, you know, and that's kind of the NFL now trying to get creative on offense, finally. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it. I wonder how a guy who didn't have success at the collegiate level. Oh, I mean, I know Tech's a tougher job than a lot of places because you have to get certain kind of guys.
Yeah, and it's not an easy place to recruit to.
No, but Arizona's not exactly overburdened with talent either at this stage. But, hey, if he fixes Josh Rosen, so be it. So, 713-780-ESPN, your number. And just to kind of wrap things up on the – from my end, at least, on the Clemson-Alabama thing. Yeah, the one thing I always talk about, most coaches are kind of turds. They almost have to be that good. Dabo doesn't seem to be a turd at all. He really seems to be a guy who's having fun doing what he's doing. And I'm sure something will come out at some point. But, you know, that's a hard guy to root against.
Yeah.
It really is. He has fun doing what he's doing. And it shows with his players. That was fun to watch. What was not fun was apparently, and I didn't watch why ESPN keeps forcing Jason Witten down people's throats is just insane to me. But apparently he didn't even know that you could fair catch a kickoff now in college.
And don't forget, everyone, you know, so deep Clemson is on defense. Why do you fair catch it?
No, that's a new rule.
It's a new rule.
Yeah, they, you know, clean everything.
New rule that's only been there all season long.
Yeah.
You think you might have watched a college football game before this? If you're going to go do that? Just a thought. Man. He did something else later, too. I don't remember what it was, but apparently. This is a tweet from Lamont.
Yeah, who is this guy?
I have never heard of this cat. So
that's a made-up guy.
Yeah, that's got to be. That's fake. That's fake Twitter. Right?
I mean, his profile picture looks like the kind of guy who would say something like that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't think that Cliff Kingsbury is necessarily the right answer. I don't know that he is. He's going to be successful there. But I also don't think that Steve Wilks being fired after going 3-13 after one season even has anything to do with him being black. And I don't think that Cliff Kingsbury has anything to do with him being white.
I find it difficult to respond to, A, people I've never heard of, and B, stuff that dumb. Did when he got hired in the first place, can we start with that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's – I don't know who that cat is.
The Cardinals hired Steve Wilkes a year ago. They must be racist.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But, yeah, I don't know what Cliff's going to be, but I – look, if you're them, you tried going the traditional route, getting a defensive coordinator, successful defensive coordinator, and your team went backwards. And, yeah, I know that there's different opinions on how long you should keep a coach, and some people think you should give them 3 years no matter what. I'm a firm believer if you get – a year in and you realize the guy's not going to work out, because frankly, if you kept him and he's Todd Bowles in 2 years, you're still having to fire him. Why not move on now?
That's what I'm saying.
And I just think, you know, you could say, well, he didn't get a fair chance. Well, 3-13. Yeah. Just like going, if you go 3-13, 2-14, not a lot of good coaches do that in their first year, and guys that go on to be good coaches. And, yeah, you know, there's a tough balance between being really patient and keeping a guy too long, Gary Kubiak, and then firing a guy too soon. And I think in this case, you know, if you've judged that he didn't really do anything special, it didn't look like he was going to make that team better, I'm okay with doing something else. And you know, you're gambling here, but you gamble whenever you hire a coach. And who knows? If Cliff works out, great. They look like geniuses. If they don't, and they go 3-13 again. If you see progress, that's what you'll be looking for. Because they could go 3-13 and you see Josh Rosen making progress. Say, okay, he may be ready to become a good quarterback now. Then you probably keep him around.
I do think it was concerning that, I mean, the Cardinals were pretty clearly the worst team in the league by the end of the season. That's not what they were expecting, considering they drafted their franchise quarterback.
And they regressed from the year before when they weren't good. And those are all things that I think you have to take into account. So I mean, why they fired him? It's like whatever. But I'm not real concerned about somebody I've never heard of.
No.
So I don't even like responding to people I have heard of on stuff like that when they're trying to make when it's basically just a hot take to get attention. So congratulations, but you didn't get your name read on the show or even what you said. So there. Bruce Arians to Bucks, and will Cal McNair be more assertive than Bob McNair to encourage Bill O'Brien to hire a new OC in DC? I don't know. I think Cal's kind of already been doing this for a while. So you know, I don't know how you're going to see anything too much different. But I'm a firm believer that you know somebody in that organization needs to tell Bill O'Brien, hey, go get some more voices in the room. And we talked about that a lot yesterday. I mean, he's going to be here. He's not getting fired. That being the case, you should always look for ways to get better. To me, the best way to get better, bring in some new voices. Bring in some talented coaches who can help you be better rather than just the same old thing. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to do it, but we'll find out. I mean, I hope as part of his self-evaluation, he decides maybe I need to go out and hire a real play caller. It doesn't mean you're not approving the plays or designing the plays or being involved in it. It just means, hey, you know what? I'm going to let this guy call the plays and I'll overrule him if I have to.
Yeah.
That you can do that. It doesn't suddenly mean that you're not a good coach. Of course, the fact that he's may not be a good coach.
Hiring another guy to help you out doesn't make you a good coach either. So.
No. And again, it depends on how much you embrace that. But I do think that they could use, I mentioned this yesterday, but I just hope they don't get caught up in the, we were 11-5 in AFC South champs, so we're close. They're not close. I don't want to say that. I think they're close, but status quo won't work next year. If you come back with the same group of people and the same team, I don't think you're 11-5 next year. And not because the schedule looks tougher on the surface. I think you'll be looking at a much more competitive division because I do think the Jaguars can bounce back next year.
I don't know if they'll bounce back to where they were last year.
No, but they're going to
I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were this year.
But I think if they go out and get a quarterback, they could easily be a 9-7, 10-6 type team, and that's not going to be an easy out for you. So, and just looking at who all they have to play next year, Yeah, you need to improve.
And it's pretty obvious that the Colts are legit.
Yeah, and the Colts have cap room. They're not going to go anywhere unless Luck gets hurt again.
Yeah.
And even then, I think they'll be much more competitive than they were in the past.
Because they've got an offensive line. They've got a defense. Yeah. Things that they've never had.
Yeah, and I got to give them credit for that defense because there's not a lot of players. I mean, Leonard's fantastic. There's not a lot of guys you look at on there and say, oh, I want that guy on my team.
Right.
And yet, they're playing fantastic football. That's good coaching, good scheming, and getting the most out of your players. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Very short show today because of Aggie basketball, so you've got about an hour if you want to get in for anything.
Sorry, guys. It's all you've got of us.
Yeah, I know. It makes me sad.
You know how you said that you don't want to hear them say we went 11-5?
Yeah.
He said that before.
We were 9-7. We won the AFC South.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, listen, I don't want to make it sound like that's not an accomplishment. It is. But if you're going to just say that that's the reason that we don't need to make some changes or get better, that's not good enough. That's all. I'm not trying to say that they're trash. I'm not trying to say that they're going to be a garbage team next year. I'm just saying if you're using that as your reason to not get better, then you're not going to get better.
We were 9-7. We won the AFC South.
And if you're happy winning the division, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's congratulations. But yeah, I would expect at some point the goal needs to be set a little bit higher.
We were 9-7. We won the AFC South.
So, oh well. And somebody asked a pretty good question: Isn't Kingsbury kind of the same thing the Titans did with Vrabel? Yeah, I guess
it's similar.
It's similar. It is because you're kind of betting on potential.
Yeah, but here's the deal: the Titans. They hired a guy who didn't have any experience as a head coach and hadn't really had a lot of success as a coordinator. So you can make those parallels. And guess what? Their record when they fired Mike Mularkey, it's the same record they had this year with Mike Vrabel. So the Titans are 9-7 the last 3 years, two of them with Mularkey, one with Vrabel. I don't know how much difference Mike Vrabel made. I don't know. And everyone seems to think like he's some genius coach. Meanwhile, what's Mike Mularkey doing these days?
Mm. Well, I can tell you something that will make a difference. Go Car Insurance. And guys, if you're like me and you've got an iPhone and your face is in the phone all the time and you're doing everything on your phone, why not your car insurance? And Go is now in Texas and they've got the crazy cat billboards, the elephant being shot out of the cannon billboards. They're trying to get your attention and get you to go to your phone and use Go Insurance. It's the very first on-demand car insurance app that's exclusively for iPhone. It's incredibly fast. You just download the app, scan your license, you'll get a quote in 60 seconds. You can go cuts out a lot of the fees that you see other places, gives you money back, and they get it. They speak your language. No more insurance jargon that nobody gets. Go makes your insurance faster, easier, and possibly even cheaper than what you pay now. They've been the number one auto insurance app in the App Store for 1,500 days running plus. So, guys, check out what we're talking about. Go to the App Store now and download Go Car Insurance. Open the app, get a quote, and see if you can start saving today. Use that iPhone, change your life. Go Car Insurance.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple people asking about the ebook version. It will be on iBooks and Kindle and all that stuff. It's just not as of today. Amazon's the first one where it became available for the print one. So I'll let you guys know. It's it should be any day now. It might even be up now on iBooks. It just wasn't when I checked this afternoon. Let's squeeze a couple calls in real quick. Rodney, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports. I think the Texans care more about their image and their reputation as far as what kind of team they try to present themselves as than trying to win championships. Because you can you imagine what that team would have been like with Adrian Peterson and Dez Bryant in that lineup throughout the year? Like, if they just didn't care about, oh, well, we don't get these type of players. And I think you can't blame the players for their loss, because Bill O'Brien is steady trying to follow a Bill Belichick blueprint instead of just seem like just being himself. And I don't think him and Romeo can relate to the players. So
I don't know that Dez Bryant or Adrian Peterson would have made a difference for this. I mean, but what Dez Bryant had, I mean, he practiced once and blew his leg out.
Yeah.
I mean, Adrian Peterson, I don't think, is anybody looking at this season and going, man, the Texans could have been so much better if Lamar Miller would have been more productive? I don't think so.
Miller, who just got picked up for the Pro Bowl.
Just named to the Pro Bowl. I feel like he had a pretty solid season. So I don't know. I don't know that personnel. I mean, obviously, are there spots on the field where they could have been better? Sure. Offensive line and cornerback mostly. But those big splash guys, I don't think they necessarily needed them.
Well, they went out and got Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that was a pretty big splash move. So, I don't really.
Lamar Miller, 4.6 yards per carry. Adrian Peterson, 4.2 yards per carry this year. Mm. I mean, you didn't need Adrian Peterson. You didn't need Dez Bryant. You needed a wide receiver who could stay on the field.
I can't.
And you drafted Deontay Foreman. I mean,
you're
waiting on him to come back. Bringing in Adrian Peterson, what's that do for the future of this team?
If you want to make the case that you should have drafted Marcus Peters or a guy like that,
right,
I'll listen to that. But, you know, that wasn't it.
Aaron, sports to you.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Sports.
How are you?
Hey, doing absolutely wonderful, man. I don't know if you can tell by my accent, but I'm an African-American gentleman. Grew up in Houston all my life. And I just don't believe that the firing of that coach down in Arizona, I can't remember his name as I'm driving, but I don't think that it was racially motivated. Man, when I looked at that guy's resume, and once he got fired, I was like, man, why was that guy ever a head coach in the first place? You know, then I looked, you know, because I don't think that he was ever a head coach anyway. He was a position coach, D-line coach. And, yeah, he worked his way up through the system or whatnot. But I think we need to start looking at those situations, you know, individually, instead of trying to paint everything with a broad brush. I'm talking about the public. I don't think that you guys do, but I think that a large segment of the public does paint everybody with a broad brush like that. And I just don't think that was the case. You know, then we look at, you know, other coaches like, you know, African-American coaches like Kevin Sumlin, you know, how he went up to A&M and got ran out of there after a few years. But, you know, truth be told, I don't think he ever should have took the job in the first place. Going from the Big 12 into the SEC, you look at anybody who's ever done that, and they wind up, you know, pretty much being, you know, 8-4, you know, a step above mediocrity for many years before they can ever climb into the ranks of an LSU or Alabama. And matter of fact, I don't even think it's been done. That's why other you know, nobody's itching to get into the SEC, because they don't like murderers' row. That's a tough place to live.
Well, I think, you know, to your point on the black head coaches, at least in the NFL, five black head coaches get fired this year, which on the surface is an alarming number. But if I give you these names, which guy are you really going to bat for saying he should have kept his job? Marvin Lewis?
16 years.
He's had so many chances. They've talked about firing him 100 times. This year he wins 6 games. It's like, okay, it's time. Vance Joseph?
No.
I mean, you want to die on that hill?
And that's another one I wouldn't have hired in the first place.
Todd Bowles, 4-12. I mean,
I could have tried to make a case to keep a little longer, because I do think I saw some improvement in his team, but he's also had lots of time.
He's had time.
Yeah, would I go to bat for that? No, but I could see keeping him.
Hugh Jackson, which,
yeah.
I mean, the Browns clearly got better the second he walked out the door.
Yeah.
And then Steve Wilks, who went 3-13. I don't know that there's any of those coaches, if they were white or purple, if any of them have the kind of resume that makes you go, this is just an unfair firing.
Yeah.
I think at this point, I mean, and I don't know, this is me as sitting here on my white privilege, knowing, you know, I don't see some of these things apparently, but I feel like at some point, black head coach will turn into black quarterback and it'll be less of a big deal. Black quarterback will, I mean, 15, 20 years ago, people made a big deal about black quarterback. How many black quarterbacks are there? Will black quarterbacks ever get a fair shake? Now I feel, you know, it's just kind of a, there's black quarterbacks and there are white quarterbacks, and I think they all get treated kind of the same. I hope that soon we get to that way with head coaches.
Yeah, I kind of felt like maybe we were. It's just that when you have so many get fired in one season, then I guess it's still a topic. And the one point that the caller made that I thought was really good is you have to take each case individually. And not just in this, I think in everything. I think way too many people say, oh, well, this happened, so therefore there's this. Because you don't have to think. It's easy to be, you know, it's easy to be provocative and do things like that. I wish people would look at them individually. But I also think there's a time when you should say something. I just don't know that we're there. Because I really don't know which of those guys I would go and fight for. Did you see there's a Stick to Sports Grandpa following you now?
No, I did not.
Stick to Sports Grandpa says, I'm glad it's a short show today. Get out of the way for sports.
Well, there you go. So you'll have your sports. Oh, this account is temporarily restricted, it says.
Oh, really?
Well, there's been some unusual activity from this account.
I see.
Uh-oh.
I'm guessing Stick to Sports Grandpa, the real guy, doesn't have Twitter.
I'm guessing not either.
All right. We are going to get a quick break in. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. Not Dead Zed was asking if I would sign a copy at the next remote show. Absolutely. If you bring your copy to any remote, I will be happy to sign it. So, Amos says, it's not really about black coaches getting fired. It's just that they never get a second chance.
Marvin Lewis got a ton of chances. Of chances.
So,
and honestly, I mean, God, I'm not saying that he's at a point where they should be firing him, but I would assume if Mike Tomlin has another season like this, he should be on the hot seat, black or white. No team had more disruption in the locker room. I mean, what, this was a clown show year in Pittsburgh. I think the only other black coach in the NFL is Anthony Lynn, who should, in my opinion, be getting some Coach of the Year love. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Nick makes a pretty good point here. He said, but two head coaching fires over the past years that made me scratch my head. Lovie Smith being fired after a 10-6 season, and Jim Caldwell finished 9-7 and replaced by a guy who went 5-11. I think the Lovie Smith one was surprising at the time. Now, he did get another chance at Illinois, and he hasn't been very good and somehow keeps his job there. Jim Caldwell, I think, is a pretty good coach. You want to talk about another guy that I'd like to see as an offensive coordinator here? I'll take Jim Caldwell.
Yeah.
He would add a lot. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And, so he says if the Texans cut Demaryius Thomas and Kevin Johnson, they'll have $95 million in cap room this offseason. I would expect both those guys to be gone. So, Kevin Johnson, why would you bring him back for any reason? He's completely unreliable, and he wasn't good when he was healthy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know if because Kevin Johnson still has 1 year left on a rookie deal, right?
I think they picked up his option. if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look it up. But.
Okay. But, I mean, it doesn't make much. I wouldn't go cutting Kevin Johnson, but I would also not count on anything from Kevin Johnson. I wouldn't be, you know, counting on him to be a big contributor.
I was willing to give him a little bit of a pass for 2 years ago because he was coming off an injury. He just wasn't good. And last year, he wasn't good before he got hurt, and then he kept getting hurt, and he's had concussions now. It's just kind of like you can't count on anything from him.
They're not paying him. He's going to be gone. Yeah, this year, his base salary would be $9 million.
Oh, yeah, see ya.
His dead money, $0.
Yeah.
So they're going to save $9 million by letting him go. He's not going to eat up 5% of the cap, would be my guess. Yeah. So, yeah, Kevin Johnson, it's been real.
But, yeah, with that money, yeah, obviously you're going to have to do something with Clowney, which I don't think is going to be all that it's not going to affect you that much because he was already, what, $14 million against the cap this year. So, you know, he'll get a raise, so that'll eat a little bit into that. I think you bring Matthew back, he'll get a raise, but he's making $8 million, so he's not going to get much more than that, I wouldn't think, for his safety. So you still got room there. And if you let go of those two guys, I could see maybe considering bringing Thomas back if he's healthy on a small deal, but not, you know, I wouldn't like renegotiate it down.
I don't think he'll be ready week one. So, no.
I mean, you make it bring him back midseason for $4 million or something.
Yeah.
On a trial basis if you need to. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of things they can do. And, you know, I don't think, Kevin Johnson, a nice kid, really nice kid. Just see ya.
And there's
that whole secondary, the whole cornerback group I'm starting over with.
I think I am too. Yeah.
I know Jonathan Joseph wants to play one more year. Okay, fine. If I get you cheap,
yeah,
you can play. But you're not starting for me.
Yeah.
And if you're not starting as a cornerback, you kind of have to play special teams. You think Jonathan Joseph is going to play special teams at his age? I don't think so.
I'll be honest. I don't know how reasonable it is, but if they can get a guy like John Brown or Golden Tate, which Golden Tate may end up costing more than they want to pay.
But yeah, he's gonna get paid.
Those are the kind of guys that I'd look at and say, man, that'd be a nice guy to have as your number two. I mean, John Brown, when Joe Flacco was playing, John Brown was starting to look like he could be a factor.
See, I think you're kind of hamstrung a little bit here because you're kind of committed to Fuller, and you know I know he can't stay healthy, so I think you need a guy like a Thomas type.
A guy on the cheap.
Because if all goes to plan and Fuller's healthy next year, that's your guy.
Yeah.
But if he's not, and he hasn't been, you need to have some kind of a backup plan in place. But I don't think you go out and spend $10 million on a receiver to do that.
Right.
And that's what you'd have to pay to get one of the guys you're talking about.
And then, I mean, there's going to be guys like Earl Thomas available. I think he's basically already said, I want to go to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But Marcus Gilchrist will be out there. I don't know if Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, he looked good. But so did Kareem Jackson early in the year. Did either one of those guys look like they were the same guy with in the last 5-6 weeks? I feel like there was a pretty stiff drop off for both the safeties. I don't know. If I'm the Texans, the one guy I'm married to in that secondary is Reed. That's the guy who I'm like, okay, this guy's a part of our future. Everybody else kind of depends on what kind of money they're asking for and things like that. Like if you tell me Tyrann Mathieu is going to get the second most money after Earl Thomas for safeties this offseason, I'd probably pass and look for something else.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. So I guess we'll see. I'm sure his agent will ask for that. But, yeah, if I had a choice, I'd probably bring back Mathieu over Jackson just because Jackson's older by another year. And I think a lot of it had to do with the position switch, but he wasn't as good of a player the second half of the year. And you know, I do think if you go into next year with Mathieu and Reed, you got a pretty good safety duo. Now fix the cornerbacks.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of dead weight on this roster that I would consider getting rid of before I not re-sign one of those guys.
And as far as Demaryius Thomas goes, I mean, sure, when he's healthy and can pass a physical, I'd give him a look. But until then, I'm stay away. Like, if somebody else wants to swoop in and money whip him, let him have him.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen coming off that injury.
I don't think so either.
So if you can get him back cheap as kind of an insurance policy, sure, why not? If he can play. And yeah. If he's healthy enough to play. And I don't know that that's going to – I mean, that's a pretty serious injury.
And even then, I mean, if you bring him back, it should be on a one-year deal.
1 year and not a lot of money. Yeah. I think that's what it would take to get him, frankly. I don't think anybody's going to give him a bunch of money.
All right, guys, there's a lot of different energy providers out there, and they're always offering something different. Free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, the list goes on. And you may have fallen for one of these offers and then months later found out you're paying a higher rate or there's additional fees being tacked onto your bill. Tri Eagle, they keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you'll pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get yourself an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.